Depression, the Way Out by Dr. Neil Nedley. Chapter 7, Stress and Anxiety. The patients came in rapid succession. First came June, a woman in her 60s who looked much younger than her age. On June's list of concerns was her long-term use of Xanax, a prescription drug to combat anxiety, a mental disorder. 12 years ago, her doctor had diagnosed her with a mental condition called panic disorder, and Xanax, 3 times a day, had been part of her life ever since. Numerous times, she tried to break free of the drug. Each time, the story was the same. Withdrawal symptoms, including severe anxiety, brought her right back to her daily medication routine. June finally concluded that she was hopelessly addicted. Then came Ralph, a young man in his mid-30s. Ralph had a history of problems with psychiatric difficulties that included anxiety. One of the many medications he took was Ativan, another anxiety-combating drug, closely related to Xanax. Ralph was struggling with whether he should be using Ativan or whether he should be taking something milder, perhaps even a non-drug remedy. Last came Bob, an international businessman in his 50s. Bob's fast-paced life seemed to fuel his concerns with stress. He asked, "Doctor, what medication do you recommend for stress?" These 3 patients that came through my office are not unusual. Scenarios like theirs are common fare in the Office of Primary Care Physicians across the U.S. Why is stress so disturbing? Why are individuals willing to spend money on medications, make trips to doctor's offices, and even risk prescription drug addiction to combat stress or anxiety? Stress may be a simple, temporary phenomenon in response to an unexpected life event. For example, that driver who cut you off in traffic last week may have contributed to your stress level at the time. But you are not likely to continue stewing over the episode a week later. For some people, however, stress or anxiety may develop into problems that are not short-lived but ongoing. With the launch of an activity of the federal government called Anxiety Disorders Education Program in the fall of 1996, the National Institute of Mental Health reminded our nation that currently some 16% of American adults under the age of 54, or more than 9 million Americans, suffer from anxiety disorders. These disorders exist in several forms. Later in the chapter, we'll look at the various kinds of anxiety disorders and define their characteristics. Before giving attention to anxiety disorders, let us first look at stress. They are 2 separate mental conditions, but we will see that they are related. What is stress? Stress is our response to problems and concerns that we encounter in life. Problems such as meeting deadlines, financial problems, or difficult family relationships can trigger stress. These problems are called stressors, and our reaction to them is called stress. In simple terms, the stressor is the action, and the stress is your reaction. We all have stressors of one kind or another in our lives. Examples of common stressors are work overload, life-changing situations, death, and financial debt. It may be enlightening for you to identify your own life stressors. It could be the first step toward resolving a stress that you may have tried unsuccessfully to resolve consciously or subconsciously. In order to fight a battle successfully, you need to know the enemy. The most powerful strategies for combating stress often involve targeting the specific stressors that are attacking you. Later, for unspecified stressors, I will explain a number of helpful techniques such as deep breathing, physical exercise, and meditation. The burden of suffering from stress. Most of my patients do not need me to state the obvious, that the burden of stress seems to be steadily increasing for many. Stress levels are on the rise in most subgroups of populations in the Western Hemisphere, affecting individuals across the age spectrum in most, if not all, of the world's developing nations. Ironically, those who are supposed to be helping us with our stress-related problems have not themselves escaped the sticky web of stress. A recent study revealed that, compared to other professionals, healthcare workers appear to be experiencing greater levels of depression, stress, and anxiety, both on and off the job. Most Westerners are acutely aware of their stress load, and a library of scientific references only affirms that stress is on the rise, and some of us are facing more than our share. Whether we like it or not, stress and anxiety are part of everyday living for most of us. And whether we are dealing with short-term effects or long-term struggles with anxiety disorders, what is called the stress response determines how stress will ultimately affect us. Let's take some time to better understand how stress can contribute to anxiety, as well as cause dramatic physical and mental changes. The three-step response to stress. Our body's response to stress is a carefully orchestrated process that is designed to help us free ourselves from hazardous circumstances. A sudden reaction to stress can be described as fight-or-flight response calculated to help us survive in a situation of imminent danger. As chemicals in our body play a major role in depression, they also drive our response to stress. Let's look at an example of a real-life stress situation and how the human frame responds to it. Celeste had an unusually long day at the office. That night, when she finally punched the time clock, she was greeted by exceptionally heavy traffic. The drive was strenuous. She was tired and had to struggle to keep from falling asleep. After a 30-minute drive, Celeste breathed a sigh of relief and pulled into her driveway. As she walked toward her house, she barely noticed the neighbor's cat. But when she heard a deep feline growl, she immediately recognized that she was not dealing with an ordinary pet. Her mind kicked into high gear. She remembered a recent warning that rabid bobcats had been venturing into neighborhoods. Her heart automatically began to race, and with a sudden infusion of energy, her weary body sprang to life. She bounded up the steps and into her house in a matter of seconds. The body's response to a stressful situation like this is designed to be intense but temporary. In an acute situation like this, the effects of stress hormones are generally beneficial, providing the resources needed to deal with an emergency. Stress pioneer Dr. Hans Selye says that our immediate response to an incident like Celeste experienced is the first phase of our reaction to a stress-producing event. He explains that our response is not dependent upon the nature of the stressor. There is a similar response that occurs as a reaction to all types of stressors. An individual's reaction to a new stressor is predictable and progressive, moving through three stages. Phase 1 is the alarm reaction, Phase 2, a state of resistance, and Phase 3, a state of exhaustion. The first phase is an alarm reaction. When Celeste heard the growling bobcat, her body issued a call to arms, which was her alarm reaction. In the second phase, stage of resistance, Celeste had to quickly decide how to protect herself. She had to decide to fight the bobcat or else run from him, a fight-or-flight response. She chose to flee. When it comes to other causes of stress, such as job stress, marital strain, financial demands, or 100 other stressors, such stress may not be a short-term experience. We typically are exposed to stressors that remain in our environment for days, weeks, months, or even longer. When this happens, it may ultimately evolve into phase 3, a stage of exhaustion. Once in this phase, if the stressor persists, disease or even death may be inevitable. There are classic examples of people dying of heart attacks in the face of some grave stressor. For those with weak hearts, a rabid bobcat or other sudden stressor may well provide sufficient stress to cause instant demise. However, most are able to cope with stressors, at least to some degree. Physical changes caused by a stressor. A sudden stressor causes several physical changes in the body. They are an increase in blood pressure, increase in heart rate, increase in heart contractions, dilated pupils, dilated bronchial tubes, increased muscular strength, a release of glucose from the liver, increased mental activity, increased metabolic rate, increased blood flow to active muscles, and a decreased blood flow to areas not needed for rapid activity, such as the kidneys and the intestines. The increased muscular strength was obviously important in enabling Celeste to quickly escape from the bobcat. What produced this increase? 5 sudden changes in her body functions were necessary to bring this about. A stronger heartbeat, more rapid heartbeat, increased blood pressure, increased blood sugar levels, and increased flow to active muscles. These 5 factors add up to an increase in energy in the blood being delivered to the active muscles. What body processes commanded these increases to occur? They are the result of several glands that increase their output of hormones called stress hormones. These increases, in turn, are caused by signals from the nervous system's reaction to the presence of the stressor. Summarizing these actions, we see that electrical signals from the nervous system cause certain glands to increase their secretion of hormones, which increases the energy in the bloodstream, causing extra muscular strength needed to flee from danger. All this happens in a few seconds. Another change in the blood is an increased tendency for blood platelets to clot. This would have helped minimize the loss of blood if Celeste suffered lacerations in a scuffle. This complex system in the human frame works wonderfully in preserving our lives in the event of such emergencies. Ongoing stressors versus sudden stressors. Let us now consider an ongoing stressor in the life as opposed to an instantaneous stressor. The instant and short-lived changes now become lingering ones. The changes now cause these benefits to become liabilities and could be very dangerous to our health. It is ironic, but the very nervous system and hormonal increases that can protect us when a stressor first appears are the same changes that can ultimately destroy us in the face of persistent stress. Our stress system is designed to help us deal with sudden, short-term conditions. It is not designed to be perpetually active in the face of persistent stressors. These facts support wise counsel found in the holy writings, such as, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Whether it is anger or other stressors, we are best served to confront and resolve them as soon as possible. Persistent stress can damage the body in many ways. Consider diabetes as an example. Americans are confronted by an epidemic of diabetes with 800,000 new cases diagnosed each year. The toll in terms of amputations, kidney failure, heart attacks, stroke, and blindness is staggering. For those with diabetes or risk factors for this disease, continued activation of stress hormones may be deleterious because of the increase in blood sugar. Consider another example, disease of the heart arteries. The stimulation of an ongoing stress may not be accompanied by an increased blood supply because of narrowed flow passages in the arteries. This could result in a heart attack or a stroke. Also, an increase in blood pressure caused by an ongoing stressor could have a damaging and perhaps fatal effect. An increase in the tendency of the blood to clot is certainly unhealthful and could be devastating in the face of diseased arteries. It is not a condition that we want to perpetuate beyond the temporary stressful situation. Damage caused by the hormone cortisol. As previously stated, the increase of several hormones in the bloodstream are involved in protecting us from a sudden stressor. One of these hormones is cortisol. However, ongoing high levels of cortisol caused by chronic and excessive stress can wreak havoc upon the body, causing much physical and psychological damage. A list of the damaging effects related to brain functions are dementia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, anorexia, depression, panic anxiety, impaired memory, and shrinkage of the brain. Impaired memory refers to one's verbal declarative memory, recalling names, phone numbers, etc. Similar memory impairment may arise in individuals who use cortisone-type medications for medical conditions. A case in point, children who take prednisone for asthma. Shrinkage of the brain can be caused by prolonged increases in cortisol levels. This takes on great importance for elderly individuals, or even those of younger age, who may sense that their mental acuity is slipping. More effective strategies to manage stress without cortisol substances may slow the decline in memory performance. High cortisol levels damage the body in other ways, such as peptic ulcers, hypertension, malnutrition, chronic active alcoholism, decreased libido, resistance to alcohol and narcotic withdrawal, and suppressed immune systems. Excessive cortisol in the bloodstream tends to weaken the immune system in two ways. First, it elevates blood sugar levels, which is a known detriment to the immune system. Second, the cortisol itself weakens the ability of certain white blood cells to kill bacteria. A study related to the immune system revealed that higher than normal cortisol levels are linked to a decreased survival time in women with advanced breast cancer. These women had fewer and less powerful natural killer cells in their blood, and thus had impaired resources with which to attack the cancer. In a classic study of medical students, the stress of taking exams resulted in a decrease of certain white blood cells in the bloodstream. When a stressor is perpetuated for days or weeks, as in the case of bereavement, the beleaguered immune system may be more susceptible to infectious disease or cancer. Another interesting study related to the immune system looked at two groups of workers who experienced a change in jobs. The first group voluntarily quit their job and found work elsewhere. Those in the second group were laid off and were forced to find another one, which was a stressful experience. The second group showed a greater risk for lung cancer. Research makes one thing clear: persistent stress has profound effects on our immune system. Cancer is typically present for months or years before diagnosis. Thus, a weakened immune system produced by persistent stress increases our risk of serious problems long before a cancer is diagnosed. Stress increases risk of heart disease and stroke. There are many studies indicating a strong connection between stress and artery blockage. Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in our nation. Growing insights into its connection with stress cannot be ignored. The relationships are remarkable, both for individuals who've never had problems with their heart and for those suffering from known heart problems. The evidence indicates that stress may not only increase the risk of a heart attack, but failure to effectively deal with stress can also lead to worse outcomes in the aftermath of a heart attack. Duke University researchers studied 132 patients with heart disease. Normal, everyday negative emotions, such as tension, sadness, and frustration, were found to double or triple the risk of significant decreases in blood supply to the heart muscle. Likewise, it was noted that positive emotions, such as feeling happy and in control, were associated with a lower risk of reduction in blood supply to the heart muscle. The Duke researchers demonstrated that even the low levels of ordinary stress that we experience may decrease blood supply to the heart. Programs that teach cardiac patients how to manage stress can reduce the occurrence of artery blockage. Dr. James A. Blumenthal of Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, and colleagues there and elsewhere studied a group of patients with coronary artery disease and documented artery blockage during mental stress testing. Patients that were instructed in the methods of managing stress had far less cardiac events than those who did not take the program. Dr. Blumenthal concluded that instructions in ways to manage stress are a very important part of cardiac rehabilitation, extending the health and life of individuals involved. The Dutch investigators analyzed 37 studies that examined results of cardiac rehabilitation programs that included instructions in stress reduction. They found positive effects on blood pressure, cholesterol, body weight, smoking behavior, physical exercise, and eating habits, along with a 34% reduction in cardiac mortality and a 29% reduction in recurrence of heart attack. When it comes to stroke, the basic underlying disease process is very similar to heart attack. Both disease states are characterized by blockage in blood vessels supplying vital organs. As expected, stress increases the risk of stroke. In a group of Finnish men, age 42 to 60, those who had the greatest stress-induced blood pressure increases showed the greatest amount of blockage in their carotid arteries. Studies linking stress to blockage in neck arteries have implications beyond that of stroke risk. Such blockage is viewed as an indicator of the extent of blockages throughout the body, including arteries feeding the heart and other vital locations. Sudden stressors do not affect all people equally, according to research performed at Ohio State University. Researchers falsely accused participants of shoplifting and then gave them 5 minutes to defend themselves. The stressor was equal in intensity for each participant. All knew that their defense speech was being videotaped and judged. Those subjects with a family history of heart disease demonstrated greater elevations of total and LDL cholesterol, two cardiac risk factors, in response to this stressful experience. Sudden mental stress not only increases cardiac risk factors like blood pressure and cholesterol, it also increases the risk of dangerous and even life-threatening heart rhythm problems. Research performed at Yale University found that among predisposed individuals, stressful emotions can provoke certain potential fatal heart attack rhythm problems. When comparing the effects of sudden mental stress with that of chronic or ongoing stress, it is found that chronic stress is also devastating to cardiac health. As previously mentioned, with respect to lung cancer, lack of control over one's situation has been linked with chronic stress in many studies. This predictor of chronic stress load also impacts heart health. A study of British government workers found that those who felt they had little or no control over their job had lower blood levels of heart-protective HDL cholesterol. Some researchers believe that hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol, may be directly contributing to the adverse cholesterol patterns occurring as a result of stress. As with sudden stress, a decrease in HDL is not the only cholesterol abnormality associated with chronic stress. Total cholesterol also tends to rise under the influence of perpetuated stresses. Researchers have demonstrated that individuals with a family history of heart disease have a greater tendency for their cholesterol to rise in response to stress. We have examined some of the evidence linking stress with immune impairments, cancer risk, and heart disease. However, there are many other conditions that may be triggered by stress and its effect on weakening the immune system. Each of these maladies deserves a closer look. The first on the list is herpes. Stress and herpes. Once someone is exposed to the herpes virus, it sets up lifelong residence in the nervous system. Prolonged exposure to stress can increase the risk of an outbreak of this painful genital state. In one six-month study, researchers in San Francisco studied 58 women ages 20 to 44, all with a history of the recurrence of visible genital herpes. High levels of anxiety and persistent stress predicted the recurrence of herpes. Interestingly, the researchers found no connection with short-term stressful experiences. Stress and asthma. The second malady listed is asthma. Stress and the immune system interactions are involved here. Stress can trigger asthma attacks. This is not surprising in view of the known risk factors that have been linked to this disorder. Those who are victims of poverty are at high risk of getting asthma. Also, those who experience family dysfunctions, including recent unemployment or bereavement, depression, alcoholism, and inability to cope with financial difficulties are also at high risk. Asthma is clearly more than an inherited disease. Identical twins provide a powerful example. When one twin has asthma, only about 20% of their identical siblings also have the disorder. Parent-reported stressful events, as well as parenting difficulties and lower marital satisfaction, have all been linked to the development of early childhood asthma. A review of medical research found that some patients could trigger an asthma episode when they attempted to inhibit strong emotions such as aggression or fear. At the same time, they found that some patients' asthma improves when disturbed social interactions are improved. On the whole, these and other lines of evidence clearly suggests that perpetuated stressors can play a role in the development of asthma as well as flare-ups of the condition. Stress can increase the risk of HIV progressing to AIDS. We've seen that heart disease, stroke, cancer, genital herpes, and asthma can be aggravated by stress through the weakening of the immune function. However, no discussion of diseases related to the immune system would be complete without mentioning infection with HIV. A recent study of HIV-infected patients involved some with stressors in their life that were greater than the normal day-to-day stressors that we all have. Those with the greatest stressors had a greater drop in certain critical white blood cells. This study provides evidence suggesting that stress can increase the risk of early HIV progressing to AIDS. The good news is that researchers did not find any connection between normal stresses of everyday living and the development of AIDS. Stress, eczema, and psoriasis. Researchers at Boston's Tufts School of Medicine found that increased levels of a hormone called CRH can be caused by stress. This hormone stimulates a certain group of white cells in the body. These cells are involved in aggravating skin allergies such as eczema and psoriasis. Stress and digestion. British researchers recently reported a link between stress and a common intestinal condition called irritable bowel syndrome. In this condition, patients suffer from a variety of complaints that may include abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, or constipation. The remarkable findings showed that emotional distress seemed to be a cause of the disorder. More than 70% of people with this condition had undergone recent stressful events, such as bereavement or the severing of a relationship. Stress and reproductive health. Concerns regarding infertility seem more prevalent than ever. Stress appears to have a broad range of effects on reproductive health. A study showed that stress can cause an increase in a certain group of hormones which impair male fertility by reducing sperm counts. In another study of more than 200 pregnant women, some were under stress caused by a combination of high workplace demands and heavy responsibilities in the home. They had nearly 5 times the risk of pregnancy complications when compared with less stressed women. Further insights into this relationship has been provided by earlier research. In a previous study, it was demonstrated that working women who had even one child at home had higher levels of cortisol in the blood. The damaging effects of this stress hormone are mentioned earlier in this chapter. In a separate study, more than 100 women employed outside the home, those who did not have children, had lower cortisol levels throughout the entire day. Perhaps more surprising was the fact that having more than one child at home did not further elevate cortisol levels. Regarding birth defects, current research indicates that stress, particularly around the time of conception and during the first 3 months of pregnancy, significantly increases the likelihood of problems. Even if conception occurs and a child does not suffer from a birth defect, stress can usher in other pregnancy complications. Certain types of stress, including high-stress working situations, have been linked to increased risk of premature delivery. Preterm babies are at higher risk of both short-term and long-term health problems. They may also be afflicted with certain learning disabilities. Stress and hip fracture. When used as treatment for medical conditions such as asthma, cortisone-type medications can have deleterious effects on bone strength. It should come as no surprise that medical researchers have uncovered a linkage between stress and hip fractures. A study of some 18,000 Norwegian women who are at least 50 years old found that indicators of mental distress, such as loneliness and life dissatisfaction, predicted an increased risk of hip fracture. The investigators thought that there was more to the story than higher cortisol levels. Part of the connection may be explained by a linkage between mental distress and a failure to maintain a healthy lifestyle on other fronts. For example, women suffering from the greatest loads of distress are more inclined to smoke and engage in poorer eating habits. Some of the effects of stress listed may not be as dramatic as other life-threatening and health-robbing conditions that we have examined. Nonetheless, looking at these additional stress-health relationships helps to make an important point. Perpetuated stress is a powerful factor that can wreak havoc on the human frame in many ways. You've been listening to Part 1 of Chapter 7 in the book Depression: The Way Out by Dr. Neil Nedley, copyright 2014. To purchase this or other books by Dr. Nedley, or to learn more about the 10-day residential program or the 8-week community programs, visit www.nedleyhealthsolutions.com.